Ladies and gentlemen, Garfield and friends.
We're
ready.
Ready.
To
party.
I hope you bring lots of spaghetti.
I'm scared.
Come on in, come to the place where fun never ends. Come on in, it's time to party with Garfield and friends. Dancing.
Fiesta.
Romancing.
Siesta.
Samba.
La bamba.
Ay, caramba.
Disguises.
Disguises.
Surprises.
Surprises.
And pies of.
And pies of.
All sizes.
Come on in, come to the place where fun never ends. Come on in, it's time to party with Garfield and friends. Come on in, it's time to party with Garfield and friends. Garfield and friends.
You notice how every week I say something different here?
The icy fingers of the storm seem to grip the house. Each flash of lightning punctuated the terror within. As he moved through the rooms, he could sense the terror of the monster's hot breath somewhere, lurking, waiting. And just when he dared to think that he might escape unscathed, it happened.
Look, I thought we had a deal. You can have the leftover macaroni and that Mugu Gai pan from last year, but you leave my banana dumplings alone.
That's a scene from The Cat, today's movie reviewed for my son, Squeak Previews. Welcome to Squeak Previews, the TV show that critiques the latest motion pictures made for mice. Squeak Previews is brought to you by cheese. 9 out of 10 mice agree that cheese is good. And now your hosts, noted mice film critics, Dean and Rupert.
Thank you, and good evening. Tonight, we take a look at a shocking new documentary about the greatest battle ever fought by mice.
They were battling the most fearsome, horrifying creatures to ever appear on a movie screen. The cat. So then, here it is. Our exclusive Squeak Preview of this gripping docudrama.
By day, the beast sleeps. But by night, the beast, also sleeps. But then, when it spots an innocent, unsuspecting mouse, the savage fury leaps into action. Well, sometimes they're less observant than other times. Still, the cautious mouse must be quiet, for the slightest sound will instantly awaken the cat. This mouse was fortunate. Apparently nothing could awaken this particular pussycat. Our hero decided to make use of his good fortune and dine on a small piece of slightly stale cheddar. This example graphically proves one should never underestimate the enemy. The brave mouse was not to be denied. He tried employing commando tactics. Tried disguises.
Not a bad resemblance, especially in the brains department.
And so the heroic mouse pondered what to do. The honor of rathood was at stake. Finally, he decided the situation called for nothing less than an all-out effort. In short order, he set about rounding up an army. For weeks, he put them through a period of intense training. They had to be ready for the greatest mission in the history of mousedom. The next morning, the campaign was launched. They attacked by land. They attacked by air. They even attacked by sea. It was then that a lookout spotted them and gave out with the secret warning signal.
Garfield! Garfield! Garfield!
The mice had to move quickly, for our deadly enemy had been alerted. It was then that the beast sprang into action. He sent out for pizza.
Garfield, this is your job. Get rid of those mice.
It's a dirty job, but somebody has to do it.
And so the evil cat set about to work his fiendish plan.
John's dirty socks. Odie's blanket after National Fertilizer Week. And John's feeble attempt at salmon mousse containing 8-week-old salmon and 10-week-old mousse. Just be happy they haven't invented smell-o-vision yet.
The cat had stooped to the lowest, most diabolical act of them all. A sneak attack. In seconds, the brave mice mission was thwarted. Our horses had to flee for their very lives and noses. But though the mission ended in disgrace and failure, the fight is not yet over. For now, let this be a warning to mice everywhere. Beware of the cat.
Well, that's our Squeak Preview's preview of this exciting new documentary, and I personally loved it.
Well, Dean, that surprises me. I can't agree. Well, our fun, it shames us all by glorifying such a moment of stark failure for all mice. It stinks. I'm giving it tails down.
What are you talking about? That was a gripping, inspirational portrait of our people's greatest battle, accurately portrayed, I might add. I'm giving it tails up.
Let me get this straight.
No, I think you're the one who needs to get straightened out, because I don't think you know what you're talking about.
No.
Yeah! Hey, if you think this movie stinks, you ought to smell our living room. Everyone's a critic these days. The cat senses the approach of danger. The dog approaches, bent on wreaking havoc on the cat. The dog threatens to do bodily harm to the cat. The dog flees, fearing for his life. Another searing episode in the life and death struggle of house pets.
As the fear hung low over the chill London street, the man they all knew as the kindly Dr. Jekyll toiled in his laboratory to complete the formula. Some eye of newt, a few hummingbird toenails, a cup of Nair's sweat, and that's the worst recipe for a malted I ever heard.
Quiet, Roy. And so, Dr. Jekyll downed the ghastly concoction. Seconds. It transformed him into a walking nightmare.
What are you reading, Austin?
Well, I was reading Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but I keep being interrupted. It transformed him into...
Who keeps interrupting you, Austin?
It transformed him into a...
I'm not interrupting you, am I?
No, Wade. It transformed...
I'm sure glad I'm not interrupting you. I hate it when people interrupt other people, especially when other people are talking.
Leave it to me, Orson. I'll get rid of this feathered station break here. Stick around, Wade. Orson's reading us a scary story.
A scary story. I'm scared of scary stories. Help!
He did the same thing with last night's story.
Last night's story was Peter Cottontail.
I know. Wade suffers from a fear of the names Mopsy and Flopsy.
Can we get on with this? Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is a classic tale of fear and psychological terror.
Did the potion really turn Dr. Jekyll into a monster?
Well, some people think it wasn't the potion, but a form of self-hypnosis.
Help! Some scary stories! Gee, mayhaps I was rude to Orson, perhaps. I should go back, apologize, and then run panic-stricken all over town.
That's silly. You're saying this Dr. Jekyll hypnotized himself?
It's Jekyll, and yes, it's possible. He may have harnessed all his hidden anger to turn himself into a monster.
But how can you hypnotize yourself?
Oh, that's easy. You just tell yourself, I am getting sleepy. I am getting sleepy.
That's silly, Roy. No one has so little brain power they'd fall asleep from that. But you could plant a hypnotic suggestion.
You mean like, I'll turn into a monster whenever I hear a bell?
I'll turn into a monster whenever I hear a bell.
Yeah, something like that.
All set!
Looks like a feast.
And it's gonna be our feast.
At least.
Hey, dude. Soup's on. Bon appetit.
Both got supper ready.
Okay, we'll finish the story of Dr. Jekyll another time.
I'll turn into a monster whenever I hear a bell. A bell? Look at... Oh, there you are. Come on and chow down, man. Oh, my. I must answer the phone.
Hello. Could I interest you in buying a set of encyclopedias? Yeah, that's the reaction I usually get.
Not yet, Booker. Let's wait for Wade.
I'm not waiting for anyone. What's this dish? That's the worst-looking meatloaf I've ever seen in my life.
You ain't exactly the blue plate special yourself, fella.
It's your brother, Orson.
Brothers, plural. You let us out of here.
Yeah, you're like the rudest guest I've ever seen, dudes.
You think that's rude? We're taking your whole dinner.
Just think of this as an order to go.
There's no hope.
Hey, Wade's still out there.
Like I said, there's no hope.
Like, where is that duck? It's dinner time and the barnyard clock's about to strike 7, man. What am I doing here?
Duck.
Arrivederci, Ducko. They're gonna pound our pal, man.
We've gotta get out of this and save him.
You know what we're gonna do to you, Duck?
Let me go without harming a feather on my body?
Just flatten the void and let's get on with our dinner.
Poor Wade.
Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
word you're looking for is monster.
Yeah, like complete with my dinner bill. Your work, man.
Wade, you're all right.
So why shouldn't I be?
Well, there was a monster and my brothers and... Oh, never mind. Let's just sit down and have dinner.
Like the microwave ought to tell me the dessert's done any sec, gang.
Wade, you ate... a lot.
I guess I was hungrier than I thought. Excuse me.
Like the fog, Nermal comes on little cat feet with built-in sneakers.
Warning! You are too close to this refrigerator. Step back or the alarm will go off. Repeat, you are too close to this refrigerator. Please step back.
Garfield?
Talking refrigerator alarm with infrared sensors reacts to body heat. Latest thing for discouraging unauthorized pigouts and unwanted guest stars. Take the hint, Nermal.
It just so happens that yours truly, the world's cutest kitten, is here to tell a story on your show today, Garfield.
Who says?
The network, that's who.
Fluctuations indicate that the guest star cutability quotient has a significant impact on the actual numbers.
Could I have that in English? Or don't you speak that?
Garfield, the bottom line is that we want Nermal to tell a story.
Not on my show. I'm the star, remember? So what if they don't like it? What can they do to me?
Garfield and friends will never be seen again, so that we may bring you a new series about housebreaking snails for fun and profit.
Okay, okay, you made your point. Nermal can do the story.
Fabulous. I'll get back to you. Your people will talk to my people. Let's do lunch. Ciao.
This had better be good.
So this is what it feels like to be a star.
Until you feel the responsibility for the success of the show, you don't know what it feels like yet. Caterer! Charge this tidbit to the star's account, please.
Anything you say, sir.
Today, I am going to tell you a true story that really happened. It's about a legendary American folk hero. There were many heroes in the early days when the country was expanding westward. We've all heard of Davy Crockett, Kit Carson, and Daniel Boone, to name a few. Paul Bunyan was the mightiest of mighty. And so was his big blue hat.
Sucker Blue, Big Blue, how about giving us a hand with these trees?
Timber!
Ha-ha! Let it go!
Paul Bunyan was the greatest lumberjack of them all. And while he worked, the big blue cat slept. He used an entire valley for his bed. When he wasn't sleeping, the big blue cat liked to engage in his third favorite pastime. Annoying small puppies. Now, Paul Bunyan kept an entire crew of cooks whose only job was to feed the big blue cat. Sometimes, They needed his help.
We need some more ice, Paul.
He just drank 100,000 gallons of soda.
It's all right. It's diet cola. Only one calorie.
Midian, but you know what is next.
Oh, no. I forgot. Sound the alarm!
The workers worked all day feeding the big blue cat. The cat had the world's biggest sandbox, too. Wagon teams were kept busy hauling the sand for it. In fact, the entire California coastline was dug by the teams of workers who loaded the sand into the wagons.
Okay, that's it. Enough. Strike the fantasy sequence. How do you expect the viewing public to believe a tall tale full of wild exaggeration like this? A cat that eats that much. Too fantastic for me to believe.
Is that so? Well, in case you've forgotten who you're dealing with...
Oh, really?
Normal, the hourly sampling of key cities indicates a plunge in the ratings during this segment, possibly due to the low believability index curve.
You mean I'm canceled?
I mean, in short, your story is too ridiculous and embarrassing, and you're fired. Hit the freeway.
I don't understand it.
My boy, you've just learned one of the more painful facts of life. What the network giveth, the network can taketh awayeth.
But what will I do now?
I happen to know they're looking for someone cute to work in a show down the hall. Hurry over to Studio 7 and tell them I sent you.
Oh, gee, thanks, Garfield. I'll never forget this. Here it is, Studio 7. Maybe I'll get on a show that appreciates true cuteness.
Before we go on with my show, I think we should see how he's doing.
And now, back to our show, Attack of the Mutant Dinosaurs.
Help! This wasn't in my contract! I quit! Garfield, help! Garfield! This dinosaur's 50 feet tall!
See? He's exaggerating again. That dinosaur is only 40 feet tall.